Great to see you all. I'm glad you all chose to come out and worship with us here tonight as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you have your Bible and would like to try to follow along, you can open up to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be reading through chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and also chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And if you're using the church Bible, Luke chapter 1 starts on page 917. So here we are, Christmas Eve already. Seems like it came up quickly. But you know, every year at this time, we hear an awful lot about the Christmas spirit. We even play certain songs to help get us into the Christmas spirit. You know what I'm talking about. The spirit of warmth, of giving, of generosity, of love for one another. Well, I'm convinced that there is a spirit that draws us together each year during this season. And I believe that it's the Spirit of God working to bring us back into the wonder and the awe of the most amazing mystery that has ever struck this earth. The fact that God became human. In the wonder of it all, believers and unbelievers alike get caught up in being drawn towards the warmth of Christmas as God works through this old familiar story. Now, we're going to start off by reading about how this story started with Mary. So let's read through Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we gather here tonight and go through this familiar story to all of us, I pray that you open our eyes, you open our hearts, that we realize this birth that we celebrate was far more than the birth of any baby. That we realize the gift that you've given us in your Son. Father, we pray that we learn what you're trying to teach each one of us as we go through this lesson tonight, and we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Mary, but in verse 27, Luke tells us two important things about Mary. Verse 27, he said, "To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." So the first thing Luke tells us is that Mary was a virgin. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how old Mary was, but most scholars agree that she was probably between 12 and 15 years old. And the second thing Luke tells us is that Mary was pledged to be married. And by today's standards, that would mean that they were engaged. But being pledged in those days was a lot more binding than being engaged is today, unfortunately. But she was engaged to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. And John referred to the importance of this when he said in John chapter 7, verse 42, "Has not the scriptures said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" Now, you may be wondering who David was. Well, David was a king in Israel. And for the most part, he was a very godly man. And he was even known as being a man after God's own heart. And in verses 28 through 33, Gabriel explains to Mary that she's found favor with God, that she'll give birth to a son. She'll name him Jesus, and he will be called the Son of God. And then in verse 34, Mary asks the question. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Now, Mary isn't questioning God. What she's saying is, "I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense to me." So Gabriel explained to her in verses 35 through 37 that she would conceive supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. And that even her relative Elizabeth is going to have a baby, even though she's considered to be too old for that. For nothing will be impossible with God. And then in verse 38, Mary replies with, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So let's think about this for a minute. What a difficult position for Mary to be in. She was engaged to Joseph. And he would obviously know that this child wasn't his. She knew that she would be accused of adultery. She knew that she could be stoned to death. Yet she willingly and graciously submitted to the will of God. What an example of obedience for us. This young girl in her early teens was willing to follow God's will no matter what the circumstances. She trusted God completely. Could you do that? If God wanted you to do something that you knew would be costly, that you knew would completely change your life, do you think you'd be as obedient as Mary? Is your faith that strong? Now let's read through the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, issued a decree that required everyone to go back to their own town to register so they could be counted in the census. And Joseph took Mary to his town, Bethlehem, which was called the city of David because that's where David was born. Verses 6 and 7 tell us that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So because of the census ordered by Caesar Augustus, point number two, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And this fulfilled what Micah had prophesied 700 years earlier in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, where he said, But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So Micah predicted the birth of Christ 700 years before it happened. And then we see in verses 8 and 9 that an angel of the Lord appeared to some shepherds. They were out there watching their flocks in the field nearby, and this angel appears to them, which completely terrified them. And it's in verses 10 and 11 that we learn who this baby really is. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This baby is Christ, the Savior for all people. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas season. Celebrating the birth of our Savior. Now, what does Savior mean? It means deliverer. Or redeemer. Jesus was born to be our deliverer. He was born to be our redeemer. What did he come to deliver us from? He came to deliver us from our rebellion against God, for he came to deliver us from our sin. You see, sin entered the world through Adam and Eve when they rebelled against God. And all of humankind has inherited Adam's sin. We're all born with a sin nature. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, sin is anything that turns us away from God and puts our attention on something else, which usually involves ourselves. It could be something like money. Could be possessions or social status. Sin is doing anything that is outside of God's will for us. And the Bible tells us that the punishment for unforgiven sin in our lives is death. And this isn't the physical death that everyone experiences. It's spiritual death. It's being separated from God for all eternity. But Jesus came to save us all from that. He humbled himself, gave up his high position, and came down from heaven in the form of this helpless human baby in a manger in Bethlehem. Jesus lived a sinless life. That made him the perfect, unblemished sacrifice for the sins of the world. Out of his love for us, out of his obedience to God the Father, Jesus took our sin upon himself. Jesus took the punishment for our sins so that we can choose to spend eternity with God, so that we don't have to be separated from God. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross gives us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. Our past sins, it doesn't matter what your past looks like, it can be forgiven. Present sins, even future sins. Anyone who chooses to give their life to Christ, turn away from their old sinful lifestyle, their sins will be forgiven and they will spend all eternity with God. They will never be separated from him. And all this was made possible because of the birth of this little baby some 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem. God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place. To die for your sins. So that you could choose to spend eternity with him. Jesus summed it all up in John chapter 3, verse 16, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder tonight of what you've done for us. We thank you for the gift of your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you for loving us that much, that you gave your life for us. We thank you for your obedience to the Father, your obedience to death. We thank you for the example of your sinless life that we can shoot for, a goal for us. As we go through this Christmas season, these next few days, I pray that you keep reminding us of the gift that you've given us. And Father, I pray that we're not afraid to get out there and tell people about you, to tell them about the gift that you've given us, the gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I'm just going to read through John chapter 1 through 14 and chapter 8.